Bibles and find the book of Job in the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Job and the 39th chapter. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Yes. It's wonderful to be with you again. This church has a special place in our heart, and this pastor and his family has a special place in our heart, and I'm anxious to see what the Lord has in mind for this meeting. Hadn't it just been real good to all of us? Amen. Good to see our Christian friends from other churches and Brother Tom Seaver. It's good to see him too. He didn't hear me, but you'll have to relay that to him. That was a good one there. Amen. I thought he might be coming tonight, so I wore a fancy schmancy thing for him. And then he walks in here in a green earth tone, just as neutral as it could be. Job chapter 39 and chapter 40 and chapter 41. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for help from another world. Thank you for our Christian brothers and sisters, God, that have gathered here tonight with this blessed flock. And our Lord, I pray this week you would set down heavy upon us. Change our lives. God, bring deliverance and bring the winds of thy manifest presence, Lord, throughout this meeting. And we'll ask you for it and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said. Amen. In Job 39 and 40 and 41, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on satanic warfare. I'm going to say some things. Don't have time to teach Sunday school. I'll have to stop and teach a little bit. By the way, I wore this for all the locals. Right here. An evangelist has no shame at some point. You know that's right. And I'm from Georgia, but this is for y'all. Brother Rusty back there. I hurt his feelings all the time. I wore that for him right here. And I want to say some things, see if y'all help me. And you've got to say amen, and if not, you just have to play catch up. I believe we're living at the end of the church age. Amen. We don't know the day or the hour. Jesus probably does by now. When he went and sat down at the Father's right hand, he gave him the revelations about the second coming. But we don't know the day or the hour, and I'd say this, but we do know the seasons and the times. And so I believe we're at the end of the church age, and you ought to thank God for that. That means we're fixing to leave out of here. You ought to get your rapture shoes on and click them together every day like Dorothy trying to leave Kansas and find the Wizard of Oz and land that house on the Wicked Witch of the West. Something, I don't know, I may got all that scrambled up. But you ought to be clicking your heels and getting ready for the Lord to come back. Because I believe we're living there. Now, the timing is the Lord's business, but I believe we're at the end of the church age. And I believe there are some things that we need to understand in this hour. And I'd say this, I believe the devil knows we're living at the end of the church age. I believe he's fighting the program that God has in place of getting those sinners saved. He's also fighting the nation of Israel. And Revelation 12 comes to mind. And I believe it fits where we're at. So the devil rageth, because he knoweth that we hath but a short time. I'm going to pull a battle scene out of the Bible. We got a fire-breathing dragon named Leviathan. And a battle is mentioned here. And we got Behemoth mentioned here. And we're at the end of 42 chapters. Now, y'all got, we're going to hit fast track. I don't know what that means, but on something. We're going to fast forward this thing. And y'all got to holler amen. And if I lose you, go home and study and apologize to yourself for watching too much television. Amen. And study these scriptures and see if you can see some things in here. All right, so I'm going to say something and see if y'all help me. Job is a wonderful book. How many chapters is in the book of Job? It's all right. Now, look, Pastor, you're not allowed to play. Brother Siebert, you neither. The rest of you Christians do. But Job 42, there's 42. All right. Now, is that a special number to anybody? Is that a prophetic number? Is that a prophecy number? Is that a second coming number? Is that a Jewish number? Sure it is. Them two witnesses, how long are they going to testify? 42 months. And Daniel talked about it. Them 42 weeks. And when them little children out of the city were mocking the rapture, and Elijah had went up, and they said, "Go up thou." They come out there and found Elisha and made fun of him, didn't they? And they said, "Go up thou bald head." That would apply all over the building here tonight. Go up thou bald head. They were mocking the rapture. And what happened? Two she-bears. There's your two witnesses of wrath. Came out of the woods, and how many of those children did they kill? I mean, you ought to know the answer by now. Just 42. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. That's a Jewish number. It's the second coming. It's the number of a great tribulation. For 42 chapters, Satan has turned loose on a man while God just observes. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. How many names is in that Matthew's genealogy? Luke gives us 70 or 77 names from God, from Adam to Jesus. That's Luke giving us the Gentile genealogy. Matthew gives us the Jewish genealogy. Starts with David, King David, and Father Abraham. 42 names. Amen. That's definitely a Jewish and a second coming and a prophecy number. Brother Tom, I did find 42 again the other day. I keep a list of these numbers. I found 42. And I don't know what to do with it, but since y'all are here on a Monday night, I'll share it with you. And if you didn't give in the offering, find somebody and give in the offering. When I give these extra, you got to get charged for it. Caroline, I'll be watching you to give. You didn't give nothing tonight. I'm watching tomorrow night. Or if you did, I didn't see it. 42. I was over there, Brother Chafin. Reading behind August Van Ryn, and he is a treasure. If you have never read behind him, you ought to. August Van Ryn, dead and gone, but left little books. Thank God, short books. Can I get a witness right there? Some of them even have a picture. That's what got me into them right there. And do you know when Joshua took the children of Israel over the Jordan, Moses had to hold up, and that wilderness crowd died in the wilderness, and Joshua August Van Ryn done been over there and took measurements. The waters rolled back 12 miles one way and 30 miles the other. It was 42 miles. So I'm going to say something. 42 miles, and then God brought his people over to the promised land. Are y'all seeing 42 is a Jewish second coming prophecy number? Well, here it is. And I believe that Job, it gives us a prophetic picture of something me and you won't be a part of, because the church, I don't care what some of these old timers up in the mountains have told you what their grandma said, the church is getting raptured out, and the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble. That 7 years and that last 3.5 will be great tribulation. I believe these 42 chapters are a picture of that great tribulation. At the end of it, there's a battle. You want me to show you even where it says battle? I'm in chapter 41, verse 8. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. All right, chapter 39 and verse, I can't ever find this one. Verse 25. Chapter 39, verse 25. He saith among the trumpets. What do you think about that? We got trumpets. Ha, ha, and he smelleth the battle. By the way, I got to show you this verse because I'll forget it surely before we're done. Chapter 39, look in verse 30. the very last one, there's the eagle's young ones. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Is that ringing a bell in your studies of the second coming? That where the carcasses are getting, the eagles will be gathered, and that valley will be filled with blood of Armageddon after that great battle up to the horse's bridle. Is anybody seeing the second coming in here? Right at the end of it. And I want to stop and say, thank God 41's not the last chapter. There is a 42 chapter. Glory! And that's where Job, this is where you're supposed to pop a happy bubble. Job gets everything brought back to him, restored with a double portion. Amen. This thing ends well for God's youngins. It ends well for God's youngins. Okay, here's what I had to show you. I had to show you that battle. And I believe when you've seen them eagles and the carcasses and sucking up the blood, I believe you've seen that Armageddon, the end of that 7 years. Now, so do I have you in the mindset that we're at a great battle? Okay, we're going to lift up some principles out of this text for spiritual warfare. Let's talk about some things first. Let's talk about Leviathan. He's in chapter 41. Look at him. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? I'm not sure what this creature was. I promise you it was something meaner than a whale. And I do believe it was some old creature from ancient times that has either went extinct or went way down under. But Leviathan is described in here. And look at this now. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Go to verse 31. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine out. One would think the deep to be hoary or very white. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. Now watch this. Not only does he go real deep, but in verse 34 he goes real high. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. I believe in Job 41. How many of you understand, and there may be a new Christian here, that the Old Testament gives us pictures and types and shadows and object lessons, physical things that point to spiritual realities. Job 41 is probably one of the most detailed insights and revelations on Lucifer himself. You'll have to go home and study it. I can't do that homework for you right here. That'd be too much. You need to go home and study this. This goes all the way back to old times. Maybe a new Christian here. The book of Job is the oldest book, not just in the Bible, not just in the church world, but in the secular world. I believe the Library of Congress. I was up there the other day, but I forgot my card, so I didn't go in. That was funny right there. And that's as funny as I get. Sorry, that's it right there. But we went to D.C. in January. But I believe the Library of Congress has every book in the world in it. If there is a book, it is. They have a copy of it there. And the great Library of Alexandria, Egypt, back 3,000 years ago, had supposedly all the volumes of the book of the books in the world. There's not and has not been an older piece of literature ever written than Job. By the way, side note for everybody that had to go to a government school. We are not monkeys, we are not animals, we are God's created in his own image. You read Job. Job has more to say about science and the stars and the old wisdom. I don't have time to get into that, but some interesting things. And brother, he has knowledge of God. He has knowledge of science. He has knowledge of wisdom. Do you know there's a telephone in the book of Job? There's a telephone in the book of Job. Just to show you what I'm talking about. Go to, I don't remember where it is. Go to chapter 38. Let's see if we can hear it ringing. That was good. Job 38. I got to find it. Why hadn't y'all already found it? Let me find this. I got to show you this phone in here. It's 38. There it is, verse 35. Just to show you what I'm talking about. In the book of Job are tucked away secrets of science. The first man was not a caveman. He wasn't dragging his knuckles and grunting. This is as far back as you go. Do you see your cell phone in here? Do you see your telephone? Job 38, 35. Canst thou, these are talking about things that God can do. Send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. So God has electricity that talks, and when it gets to you, it says, hey, we're here. How you doing? Who knew that lightning could be sent, and that when it got to you, it'd speak to you and say, hello. What about that? I dare y'all to read the book of Job. Honey, it is loaded down. It is loaded down with creation truth. I'm about to get excited about that. But anyhow, and the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Adam and his sin, the knowledge, and here is Leviathan. I don't believe you've got a more deeper, detailed commentary that the Scripture gives. There's a lot in here. Now, you tie this in with Ezekiel 28, tie it in with Isaiah 14, and then, of course, the things that we learn in the New Testament, and it tells you about Lucifer. I got news for you. I don't want to study too much about the devil. He studies me enough. Amen. I'd just soon tell him off in the name of the Lord and then go to Waffle House and get a chili and talk about the Atlanta Braves and talk about how to pray for revival. And both of those can come together. They need it. But I got news for you. Here's Leviathan. Now I need to show you something else. He's a fire-breathing dragon. We'll show you this. Look at chime in chapter 41, verse 18. There's so much to read in here, we don't have time to read it all. I'm in verse 18 of 41. By his kneesings, that's nasal sneezings, by his kneesings a light doth shine. And his eyes, now here's your glowing eyeballs. Sorry, that's going to keep the kids up till midnight. That'll be great. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps. And sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. What about that? Verse 23, the flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in them, so they cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone. Yes, hard as a piece of the nether millstone. And so, this is a fire-breathing dragon. I got news for you. Right at the end of these 42 chapters, a battle is mentioned. The eagles are gathered together, sucking up the blood, and Leviathan is on the move. All right, is anybody with me? Now let's go look at Behemoth. Not only do we have a Leviathan chapter in 41, but now in chapter 40, we have a Behemoth chapter. All right, I'm going somewhere. And satanic warfare. Behemoth. This, I believe, was an ancient dinosaur, extinct by now. But I believe it was. I believe it was the largest of them. Let's read this. Behold now, I'm in chapter 40, verse 15. Behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee. Now that's creation language. That's day one. Creation language, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Now that ox is often, the ox is a symbol of Satan. If you've ever been around devil worship, and I hope you hadn't, but if you saw all the movies that we have, the devil's depicted more not as an ox head, and the ox more so than the goat head. Behemoth, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, I can keep on reading here about him. Behemoth. So everybody look at me one second. I want to say something to you. We have a battle. We're at the end of 42 chapters. We have a Behemoth chapter and a Leviathan chapter. Can I stop and say to you that you and I are living, let's see if you'll come with me. We're living in an hour. We're not at the end of that 7 years, but we're at the end of the church age. And there is a spiritual battle over the human race, over the earth, over the nation of Israel, over the nations of mankind, and over the body of Christ. And I believe it is 7 times worse than it ever has been. I have scripture for that. I'm not going to get into it. They heated up the furnace in Daniel 7 times more. Matthew 12, at the end of that generation, 7 times more devils entered in. I got 4 or 5 references to 7 times intensified. I believe it's 7 times more in the hour that you and I live. Brethren, you and I need to get our heads out of the sand and get in the fight. That was real weak, so I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. And you're a Monday night crowd, and it was still weak. Let's try that again. We better get our heads out of the sand and get in the battle. Amen. That was better. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Somebody better get in the Bible. Somebody better get in the prayer closet. Somebody better get in the altar. Somebody better get in the highways and hedges. Somebody better get in the local church. Get all the way in the local church. Better get in. Somebody better get in the fullness of the Spirit-filled life. Somebody better get in that Jordan River. Okay, I want to show you a little bit of something. I want to show you how, let's see. I want to show you how Behemoth works, just a minute. How Leviathan works, just for a moment. We don't have time to go in depth. How many of y'all believe we're at the end of the church age? How many of you believe that he's after some things? Watch how Behemoth works. Let's see if we can get this real fast. Well, in verse 16 is interesting. His strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. All right, I'm going to wade off into some heavy-duty stuff for just 30 seconds. Brother Sievert, Brother Pastor, y'all help keep me. I'm going to look at you men. This is delicate material, but I'm going to tell you something. The loins and the belly. If a devil's ever used anything, he's used feeding the desires of the flesh. It's delicate material, and I'll be careful. I'll look at you pastors. But I'm going to tell you something. You go home and think on this, and you study the symbolic business right here. The strength, his strength. Did he not show up with Eve? And honey, he appealed to everything in her flesh and in her flesh nature. And it wasn't a fallen nature yet. But he tempted her in the 3 areas. That's just amazing to me. What does the devil use in this hour? The loins and the belly. The loins and the feeding the flesh. And feeding the flesh. Oh my. Do y'all okay? Let's read on here. Behemoth. Behemoth. Verse 17. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Ain't that how Revelation 12? Ain't that how the devil got 1/3 of the angels out of heaven? Said he swept them out with his tail. That tail's deceitful. That tail comes from behind. That tail's strong. That tail's the movement. Preacher, the hour that we live, I see a lot of serpent reptilian tails that are deceiving and moving, and I wonder why other people don't see it. I'm not being ugly and not here to pick a fight. Didn't come to Knoxville to pick a fight. But I'm going to tell you something. It's very disturbing to me at how deceptive some things are, and people can't see it. Moving on. His tail's like a cedar. Verse 18. His bones are as strong pieces of bread. Here it comes. His bones are like bars of iron. Well, he'll put you in prison. Verse 19. Well, this language is something, brother. Joshua, he is the chief of the ways of God. Was not Lucifer the most glorious creature ever and the most powerful? He's the chief. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. It's a 20-minute message right there. Jesus did come to him in the wilderness with a sword. Leave me alone. Verse 20, the beasts of the field play with him. How many of y'all know the beast is on the loose in this hour? Well, there's beast. They play with him. Look in verse 21. There's covert. Everything he does is shady and covert. Shady and covert. Do you see them words in there? Shady and covert. If you go to a church, and I know this church does, if you go to a church where the Word of God, the spotlight is opened on a regular occasion, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. Word of God will bring things to light. A lot of shady business. A lot of covert business. Come on, children of God. In our churches. Brother Siebert, I'm going to tell you a little story, and they can listen in if they want to. I was with a bunch in Tennessee a couple of years ago. Brought me in to preach. Oh, my goodness, the Lord made me drop the hammer, pick it back up and swing it in circles. He made me. I broke fellowship with my own self on the way home that night. I said, you, sir, are mean. I'm not even going to talk to you. I got a milkshake, but I didn't let me drink it. I drank it. I didn't let that mean guy drink it. I mean it. Whoa, rough. And them were sweet people. And them were good people. And some of them were good friends of mine. I said, Lord, why did I pull the sword out and just kill everything in sight? Well, he never answered me because the Lord's not really have time to explain everything to me, so I'll know everything. Huh? Just found out. There's children here. Just found out the whole thing was a club. Swinging. The whole thing. Sunday school teachers, song leaders, the special singers, the people on the platform, and other couples were joining the church because of that. Listen, if it's shady, if it's covert, if you think you smell a duck and it walks like a duck and it talks like, come on, help me somebody. If you're smelling a little sulfur and brimstone, you might ought to quit worrying about trying to be nice to everybody and protect your house. Well, we need to be sweet. Not when the devil's coming after your family. You don't need. You need to be mean. Can I get a witness right there? Some child molester break in your house, you going to get up and be sweet to him? Kill the rascal. You believe that? And if I told you the stories, it'd turn your blood cold. Man run half the church. Brother Tom, I'll just tell you this. They can listen in. His 21-year-old daughter got married, and he got her and her husband to come over there with them. So, Brother Pastor, made sense to me then why I preached like a wild man that night and killed everything in the building. I'm going to tell y'all something. I hope you're not so carnal and so shallow that when the preacher bears down and blasts the thing right into the next yard, I hope you're not so shallow and carnal that you go home and talk about him for a week. What you ought to do is say, thank God the Holy Ghost showed something to our preacher, and I'm glad he runs some devils out. We don't know what's going on, but we don't need to know what's going on. Thank God I got a preacher that'll preach. They went contemporary too. They were going contemporary just a little when I preached there. I could smell it on the fringes. They've gone full-blown contemporary now. And the thing is a club instead of a church. And that's an independent Baptist church. What do y'all think about that? Shady. Covert. I got news for me and you. To the pure, all things are pure. I just don't think that way. I think everybody loves the Lord. I think everybody came to church Because they love Jesus. I think every preacher wants the power of God. I think every Christian wants the will of God. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, all things are defiled. Do you know a thief thinks everybody in here is going to steal something? Do you know a fornicator thinks everybody in here is lusting after every woman in here? Did you know a liar thinks that nobody in here tells the truth? But did you know a prayer warrior thinks everybody prayed today? Do you know a good man thinks everybody in here is good, honest, decent, and virtuous? Do you know people full of the Holy Ghost are just looking for everybody else to be looking at the day like the Lord gave it to them? Are y'all with me? Honey, you better listen to the Lord. You better listen to the Holy Ghost. Shady and covert. What about that? Are y'all looking at him? I'm just going to skip some things here. I'm skipping something. Look in verse 23. Look in verse 23. Boy, Brother Tommy, there is a whole message here. And I mean not just something to be preached. There's something here. Look at Behemoth on how he tries to dry up the Jordan. In verse 23, behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. That Jordan is the death, burial, resurrection in the Christian life, and it's the entrance into the Spirit-filled life. You know what Behemoth's trying to do? He's trying to dry up the Jordan so you can't have a baptism. I ain't talking about that baptism. That baptism is a picture of the baptism I'm talking about. I'm talking about God killing you, burying you, and raising you in His power, and you walk into a new world and do a Spirit-filled life living in Canaan. Amen. Behemoth. I'm going to preach on this when I get light on it. He's trying to dry up your Jordan. He's trying to dry up your Jordan. He's trying to dry up your Jordan. The average church is dried up. You couldn't come in and get full of God if you paid 10 angels to help you. Come on now. The average church is dried up. There's too much shady stuff going on, too much covert stuff. Oh, look at. Now look how Leviathan works. Look how Leviathan works. Verse 2. I'm in chapter 41, verse 2. Canst thou put a hook into his nose? No, you ain't going to. Let me say it like this, see if y'all back me up. You can't hook him, but he can hook you. You ain't going to catch him, trap him, trick him. You're not going to trap or trick the devil, but he will you. You can't hook him. You know, every time I leave down from here and go back to the house, when I leave out here instead of the motel, if I go to the house, somehow trying to get to the interstate just a few blocks away, all them drug addicts laying under the bridges on the sidewalks. I don't know what kind of program that is or place that is, but young people. That's what got me the first time I run into them is in their 20s and 30s. Sleeping under the interstate over here. Outside, is that a rescue mission or a, okay. You ain't going to hook him. He's going to hook you. I seen something I'll never get over right out here. I usually come in a little bit late. I try to avoid humans before the service. You've heard about them humans. I stay around and talk to you after service, but I try to avoid them beforehand. But I usually leave early and get me a coffee. There's two things I do to get ready for church. I watch Judge Judy and I drink strong coffee. Get a little warm up. Get a little warm up. Get ready to call people ugly names. You know, just a little warm up. But I got me a coffee. And I pulled over and parked just one block over here on top of a gravel mound. And I parked there and meditating on the sermon, drinking that coffee. And looked down there at the train tracks. One of them metal sheds. And there was a young man. You could tell he was a drug addict. And he had a little place down there where he was living, homeless. And I swanny. he was preaching. Had to have been. He was by himself, and I know he's out of his mind. But I promise you he was preaching. By himself upon that concrete platform. And he had the mannerisms and everything. He was in rags. It was obvious he was a drug addict. And he had the mannerisms of a young preacher that I had in my church 30 years ago. And the Holy Ghost conveyed it to my heart. That boy has had the gifts and calling of being a preacher, but the devil's hooked him. He's down there full of demons. But the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And they'll work in you even when you can't work in them. Being hooked. Being hooked. Well, I need to a couple more things. Look, Leviathan. Look in verse 3. Will he make many supplications? Will he speak soft words? Will he make a covenant? Wow. There's the Antichrist making a covenant. Come on now. There's the Antichrist making a covenant in this 42 chapters. Oh, Leviathan, he'll make a covenant with thee. He'll speak soft words. I'm going to put a little warning out here and y'all just hear me out. Y'all be real careful of people who act right in church but don't act right after church. One of the biggest dangers in this young generation is people know how to get into service and how to do it the old-timey way. But afterwards, if you look at social media, them two ought to line up. Soft words. Had a young preacher call me. He's 22. Called me about a month ago. He said, I'm in a little dilemma. He said, I've chosen to go with the old paths and the old-fashioned preachers. And he said, I'm not going with these new boys who claim to be old-timey, but they're contemporary after the service. Their friends, their songs, their associations. In church, they'll take you down the old path, but after church, they take all the young people to a contemporary place. And this boy told me, he said, I've chosen, I've seen through it. He said, I realize they're trying to use me, not help me. And he said, but I got a dilemma. He said, a lot of these old-fashioned men of God, he said, they're not near as friendly to me as them contemporary boys. He said, they're nice to me. And so I listened to him. And immediately, because I've been dealing with this new generation a long time, immediately I knew the answer. I said, it's Absalom. I said, let me ask you something, son. He just got married, and he made this comment, Brother Siever. He said, nobody will use me. They're not booking me. They're not singing me. They're not preaching me. They won't use me. And he's a good boy. He's a real good boy. And I said, son, if you'd have been around in 2 Samuel, you'd have called me and told me something. Absalom down here is so nice to me. He talks to me every day. He walks in the gates with me. He puts his arm around me. He's sympathetic to my cause. He hears my complaints. And he's in agreement with me. David up there in the cat, he's so mean, he won't come down and talk to nobody. Are some of y'all listening? Is Knoxville listening? I said, son, if you'd have been back in the kingdom, you'd have really liked Absalom, because he could have buttered you up with all kind of soft words, give you a lot of time, give you a lot of friendliness. I said, but he's after something, and it ain't you. I said, now, King David probably didn't have much time to talk to you. But you know what he did have time to do? He did have time to save the kingdom so you could live in it with your family. He did have time to kill a giant
so you could live in a nation with freedom and with power. He did have time to sit up there and write the biggest book in the Bible. He did have time to be a godly king that walked with God.
Amen.
And that's what I asked him. I said, you ain't a little spoiled, are you? You need people to talk to you every day? You need people to book you or they're not your friend? Brother Tom, I've preached for you several times, but it's been several years. Well, it's because the Lord hadn't led it. We're as close friends as we ever have been. You don't have to do something for me to be your friend. I hadn't come by and done anything for you either. We're still friends. What about that? It's friendship. It's fellowship. It's not based on using each other. I ain't after something in his life. He's my Christian friend. Help me now. Y'all ain't helping me. I said, son, you're not a little spoiled, are you? I said, you know what the Bible tells a young man to do? You're only 22. Jesus worked in the wood shop till he's 30. I said, you know what I did when I was 22? I did what I was told. And I was a pastor. I did what my pastors told me. I did what God told me. I did the Word of God told me. We submitted ourselves one to another in our church. I said, you really, a 22-year-old, you need a platform or you don't feel loved. You know, he's such a good boy, he immediately saw it. He went to crying. He said, thank you, brother, thank you. He said, the devil's been after me for a month. He said, you're right. That cleared it up. That cleared it up. He said, thank you. Now, what about a young man that can receive rebuke? He took it and never missed a lick and said, you just explained everything's been happening in me. Thank you. Honey, you even put half a rebuke out on the table with this generation. They're going to be on social media for 2 months with passive-aggressive posts covering it up with an ESV scripture. Quote two verses of a weird song and then slip their barb in there. Y'all ain't helping me. Did y'all see it? Supplications and soft words. The devil can sweet talk you. And when I explained that to that boy, I said, King David probably would have never had the time to even speak to you. And Absalom knew it, and he was down there in the gates of the city befriending everybody and hitting the like button on everything. Y'all ain't helping me. Oh, I hope you're seeing some a covenant. Oh my, well, okay, that's 40 minutes and we're not even out of the introduction. I can hear a lot of old church timers saying, we do have all week evangelists. Don't say that, Brother Stephen. Oh, I want to show y'all something. Been up here 40 minutes. Let's see if we can find somewhere to hover for a minute and get a good blessing here. Aren't you glad that God told us about a behemoth chapter and a leviathan chapter?
Amen.
Well, guess what? Right before we met them two, he gave us two other things. He gave us a horse and an eagle. I'm about to run. Are y'all in chapter 39? Well, you're supposed to be. Chapter 39. And look what the Lord gave us right before. Thank God he always gives us what we need before we need it.
Amen.
He gave us a horse. I'm in chapter 39 and verse 19. He gave us a horse for battle. And then look in verse 27. He gave us an eagle. You see the horse going into the fight and the eagle going into the flight? What about this? The horse will meet Behemoth on the ground and the eagle will meet that fire-breathing dragon in the air. You said, what about going down to the deep? You ain't got to go down to hell. The Lord done did. He took care of everything down there. I don't need a little help right here. I don't know if y'all are excited as you're supposed to be. That's probably my fault. But I want to say something to you. Aren't you glad that God gave us a horse and an eagle?
Amen.
It's a spirit-filled life. These are victors. These are conquerors. A battle horse. I would say war eagle, but we're too close to orange country. Look how shameless I am. When in Rome, do as Knoxville. Oh, what about this? I'm about to shout. God knew there'd be a behemoth on the ground and a leviathan in the air. And he said, come here. I'm going to give you a horse. You can go into the fight. I'm going to give you an eagle. You can meet him in there. Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen, brother.
Thank God he gives us what we need for the battle.
Amen.
Now, truth is, we are the horse and we are the eagle.
Amen.
This is the enemy. This is the spirit-filled Christian. Let's look at this just for a minute. Thank God for the horse and the eagle. I want to say something about this horse. We're going to read these verses. You're going to find out that the biggest characteristic I saw in these scriptures is that he has no fear. He has no fear. Watch this. Verse 19. Hast thou given the horse? What's the first thing that God gave the horse? Strength! What's the first thing said about behemoth? Because the horse is on the ground. God give us a horse to go meet behemoth. He gave us the wings of an eagle to get up there with that flying dragon, that fire-breathing dragon. Watch this. What's the first thing he gave behemoth? See, it's verse 16. Lo now. First thing he mentioned, his strength. I'm going to blow my nose. Pardon me. Wow, that was really in the microphone. Caroline, you should have warned me, child. Look in verse 16. His strength. So there's behemoth. You know what he's got? He's got strength. So what did the Lord do? I'm about to pick that thing up and run all the way to downtown and shout. God gave the horse strength.
Amen.
Woo! Woo! Hast thou clothed his what? With what? Let's put thunder in his neck. It'll hold that head up. Old behemoth, it's in his tail. It's in his loins. That horse, it's in his neck, holding up his head. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
By the way, that's thunder. That's thunder. I'm going to stay with the old-timey way.
Amen.
It thunders. I'm going to go to church where the thunder rolls.
Amen.
I'm going to sit under preachers with the King James Bible and they're not holding hands with 100 friends who do not have King James Bibles. Because they thunder when they preach.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down there where a church prays and you can hear the thunder rumbling.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I heard that thunder rumbling when the choir sang.
Yeah.
I know you ain't got a musician, but you got music. Amen. A little choir's up there singing.
Yeah.
And that little thunder.
Yeah.
Just in my soul. Amen. Oh. Thunder! Thunder! Oh, heavens. Y'all leave me alone. There's a big old rabbit running through here. Clothed his neck with thunder. Watch this horse. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? No, you can't. He ain't no grasshopper. You can't make him afraid. What does Scripture say? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind, thank God. I got something I need you to write down. He paused in the valley. Something you need to write down. Brother Siebert, this is probably the best quote I've heard on fear. 1 week ago, listening to an old preacher, and he defined fear. This was an old missionary who had been down in Australia. Is that the land down under? I always get it mixed up with Argentina. That's South America, isn't it? They both start with A. I'm easily thrown off the And Alabama and Arkansas, same thing. I said, same thing. It's the A that throws me. He's a missionary down there for many years and had to live in the middle of devils and demons and pagans and witchcraft and a lot of that, what's the aborigine? Did I say that right? A lot of that old devil worship. And he's teaching on spiritual warfare. And he gave the best definition on fear I've ever heard. He said, Satan loves fear. Satan uses fear. Satan's fears, just like God loves faith, Jesus loves faith. He said, without faith, it's impossible. But if you just got a seed of mustard seed of faith, he'll turn a mountain upside down.
Amen.
Faith is what the Lord operates on. Fear is what Satan operates on.
All right. Amen.
And he came to Eve. He appealed to her. He created fear.
Yeah.
Fear that she's being left out. Fear that God was not being good. Fear that she was going to come short. Fear. First thing it brought, Adam was afraid and he hid. I mean, we run into it right on the second page of the Bible, fear. Here's the quote. He said, Satan loves fear because, here's the quote, fear is having faith in Satan. When you lose confidence in God, you begin to fear Satan. What you're saying is, I believe in Satan. I believe in Satan's power. I believe Satan's going to do what he said he's going to do. I have fear because I believe that Satan can do and will do what he said he's going to do. And when you have fear in your heart and fear in your life and fear in your mind, and when you have fear, and some of you have fear about your sins. Many people wrestle fear about their salvation. Every bit of that's saying, oh my goodness, I'm not going to believe God's word. I believe what Satan said. Satan's lying to me and I believe him. I believe he has power to control this. And I no longer believe God has power. I believe Satan has power. I don't believe God has forgiven me. God said he did. And then that cancer and then that disease and that sick baby and then that and then the economy, and then getting laid off, and then a spouse dying. Fear!
Right.
They tell me, you can research this, I have 365 times your Bible says, fear not. It's not always those two words. Sometimes it's in the form of, be not afraid, neither be afraid, have no fear. But 365 times it says, fear not. That's one for every day of the year. And every fourth year or the last day of February, you're going to have faith that day. Call one of us. We'll sing you a song and get you through that day. Oh, my, fear, fear. This horse has no fear. Look what he does in the valley. I'm in verse 21. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear. He's not affrighted. Neither turneth he back. Oh my. Look in verse 24. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. He gets into battle. Verse 25. He smelleth the battle afar off. The thunder of the captain, the shouting. He saith, ha, ha, among the trumpets. I like that. I always thought a horse said, nay, nay. But this King James Bible horse says, ha, ha. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Ha. Not to be mistaken for a crow. It's caw, caw. But almost, ha, ha. What about that? Can I deal with something and not to be offensive? I understand there is a black demonic blanket of depression and oppression laying on this nation. But brother, a spirit-filled Christian is a horse in the middle of it charging into battle.
Amen.
Victors, not victims. You know what this horse does in the valley of Armageddon, I believe, sees the battle, smells it. He paws in the valley. Bring it on. I'm coming in. Paweth in the valley. You know what our generation does in the valley? They write sappy love songs and call it a church song. Good night. If I wasn't depressed when I came to church, half of y'all depressed me. We're going to sing up here. We've been in a storm. Either just been in one or just coming out of one. I got one in my pocket. If anybody needs a storm, we're in a storm. I'm going to sing about the storm. I'm in a storm. I'm so blue. I've got the blues. I'm in a storm. Brother Pete's praying for me. It's got that bad. When they put out that bless him, Lord, it means you're struggling. That song may have struggled a little bit. Oh, you know what our bunch does when they get in the valley? They go on social media for 3 months. Passive-aggressive post. And find these little clippings. I don't know why some people are so mean. But here I am over here. That's our Lord. Proverbs 3:12. I got to stick a verse or Paul, I heard Lester Roloff, one of the last messages he preached in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on Paul and in the valley. Honey, you get somebody full of God, they mock at fear. They crave the battle. There's thunder in their neck. They swallow the ground with fierceness. We need some fierce believers who'll take the ground.
Right.
We're a bunch of soft, soaping, milk toast, girly generation, a little social media posting. Everybody notice me, hear me, feel me, feel sorry for me. I'm not having a good day. I'm going to post something.
Amen.
Is anybody helping me? I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, half of it's stuff that I'm making up, but I'm not making up this stuff. It's in there. That horse always speaks of war, always speaks of battle.
Yeah.
Who was the one martyr who ran to the stake to be burned? They said Paul broke free from his Roman captors and ran on in that Colosseum and laid his head down on the chopping block before they could tell him to. Pawing in the valley. Y'all are so quiet. Pawing in the valley. That horse is made for the fight. You know, if you'd get full of the Holy Ghost, you'd charge this thing and scatter 100 devils left and right.
Amen.
I was reading about William Carey and Adoniram Judson, them missionaries. Bet one of them, William Carey, Adoniram Judson, buried his baby boy, caused a tropical disease, and then buried his wife. Never even went home for a furlough. Started 10 more churches. Pawing in the valley. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. Can I paraphrase for you? Is that all you got? What are you going to do, kill me? You might. Here I come. May God help us. Look at the eagle mounting up at thy command. Look at that eagle. Anybody interested in being full of victory? Anybody interested in being full of power?
Amen.
Anybody interested in having a real revival that'll live and live and live and carry you to the end of your days? That horse. Look at the eagle. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth. Oh my goodness, folks. That's an hour-long sermon right there. Every bit of that. What's that eagle do? That eagle's made to do the heavenly warfare. That horse is made to do the warfare on the ground. God gave you something so you could meet Behemoth. God gave you something so you could meet that Leviathan. He gave you a horse to ride on. He gave you an eagle to ride on. He'll make you a horse, make you an eagle.
Amen.
We don't have time to preach this eagle business. Look what he does. Mounts up.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I'm not filling up. Well, I just can't get up. I just can't get going. Well, mount up.
Amen.
Well, how? There ain't no how to it. What's the next three words? Mount up. Thank you, Brother Pete. At thy command. If he said it, do it. Well, I don't know how to fly. You don't have to know how to fly. He just told you to. Obey God. Take God at his word. If he said it, you'll be able to do it. I don't know if our church can fly. He said for it to. It can't not. I don't know if we can get victory at our house with everything we're facing. He said, mount up. He just said to. So you can. Why hadn't you? Just because you won't. You want victory? He's already gave it to you. He mounts up at thy command. Makes her nest on high. That's a 60-minute sermon on the home. Making her nest on high. Verse 28, your two New Testament words for being filled with the Spirit. She dwelleth and abideth. Go study that on your own. You know what that eagle does? Dwells, which is really an Old Testament word for the Spirit-filled life, and abideth, John 15. She dwelleth and abideth. Where? Upon the crag of the rock. I run into that and I knew I'd hit a good gold nugget. I shouted 20 minutes on the crag of the rock. And when I got done shouting, I realized I didn't even know what the word meant, but it was a good word. I said, glory, the crag of the rock's where I'm living. What does a crag mean? Now, I thought I saw a crag down at Walmart, but it turned out that was something else. She was on aisle 11 coming around the corner. I said, yep, that is a crag right there. See me after church, I'll tell you what crag is. You know what a crag means? It's the only time in your King James Bible you'll find this word. This word's nowhere else. It's right here, crag. And you've heard of craggy. You know what crag is? Had to look it up. Come from a Latin word, broken. The broken place. The broken place. You know where the eagle lives? You know where the eagle can dwell and abide? You know where the eagle mounts up and lives and makes her nest? You say, I got a big old broken place in my life. That's probably where you're going to live. That'll probably be a great place.
Amen.
God allowed that broken place. God arranged that broken place. God said we need a place for a nest.
Amen.
You can live in your brokenness. Paul said, I can't get this thorn out of us. Lord said, you're fine. My grace will be sufficient.
Amen.
The crag. The crag. That's where that eagle has that spirit-filled life. God will take you up high, but that don't mean there's no brokenness. Way up high, but in the broken place is where you live. Okay, I've just give you some things to study. Aren't you glad that God would give us a horse and an eagle?
Amen.
Right before Behemoth and Leviathan gets here? I've been up here 1 hour. Can I show y'all something I love in this chapter? It's fun. I want to show you something. Them ain't the only animals. The horse and the eagle are not the only animals in this chapter. There's at least five others. Huh. Think about it for a minute. Wasn't there seven churches? Two were good. Smyrna. Philadelphia. The other five were bad. There's a horse and an eagle. But I got news for you. That ain't the only thing in your church. We got horses and eagles. A lot of them here tonight. But there's other things. Y'all want to see them real quick? You got to do this fast. This is an hour-long sermon. I've been up here 1 hour and 2 minutes. Y'all don't make me preach another hour. Caroline's got homework, I'm sure. No, it's summer. Okay. She's got to feed me Applebee's. Watch this. Chapter 39. I'm just going to show them to you. Don't y'all make me preach this. When I say it, y'all got to act right. All right, look at here. Verse 1. Notice that at the time when the wild goats. Hey, do y'all know of any wild goats in the churches? They're going to make me preach it, Pastor. Wild goats. Okay. Hey, thank God there's a horse and an eagle, but there's also a wild goat. All right, come down. Here's verse 5. Here's a wild ass. You see a little old donkey out there? Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? What about that? Now here's a wild ass, and these old farmers could tell these kids what kind of donkey that is. What's amazing is it's singular. And this thing is a rebel. Set it out free, loosed its bands. Nobody did. Kicked loose and broke out. You watch this in the hour that you live. There's going to be a horse and an eagle here and there. There's going to be a horse and eagle church. There's going to be a horse and eagle Christian. But there's going to be wild goats in our midst. And there's going to be a wild ass. And they're always alone.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me well. There'll be one rebel that can tear up everything. Yeah. There'll be one reprobate. There was only one Absalom. Everybody else is fine in that kingdom. But one ass. All right, wild ass. Move on down. Here's the third one. Y'all with me? We're in overtime. Wild ass. Now come down. This is interesting. Verse 9. Here's the unicorn. Now, I think the unicorn was a good animal. I think it was a real animal. I personally, in my studies, I personally believe that there was such a thing as a unicorn. It looked just like you see them. There's seven mentions of unicorns in your Bible, seven different times. And I think five of those seven times, it was a second coming context. I think it was a beautiful stallion of some sort with a crown. And I believe that's probably what we're coming back on. And now I can't prove that, but I ain't trying to. It's just when me and you are coming back, I'm going to look at you and say, I told you. I'll be the only smart aleck in heaven. I'm like, I told you. Lord will be like, behave, ding, we're in heaven. The unicorn. Now what? I believe that was a good thing. I believe it's extinct now. But you know what they've done with it in this hour? Represents magic. Represents magic. Represents magic. Just like the Sodomites have hijacked the rainbow. You know how much black magic and sorcery is going on in our nation? Unicorn. Come down here to verse 13. Here's peacocks. There's peacocks. Y'all know anybody strutting around showing off? Hey, y'all been going to church longer than a month? Have you met people who love to have the preeminence among you? Come on now. Here's the last one for the night. In verse 13, there's the ostrich. You got 2 minutes for me to talk about an ostrich? I was amazed, Brother Sharp, in this most ancient of literature to find abortion. God dealt with abortion in the first piece of writing He ever let be preserved. At the end of 42 chapters, in a second coming setting, abortion. You want to see it? I done showed you a telephone in the book of Job. Watch this. Here's abortion. I'm in Job 39, verse 14. The ostrich leaveth her eggs in the earth, warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may... She don't care that the wild beast is after her children. I'm in verse 16. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor, that's childless, is in vain without fear. And then look what the judgment, because God hath deprived her of wisdom. That's Romans 1, being given over to a reprobate mind. Neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Wow. Hey, y'all. That ostrich forgets her young ones, turns them over to the wild beast. She don't care. And God's took her wisdom from her. Show you the most amazing verse to me. Blows my mind. What is an ostrich known for? Putting her head in the sand. That's why I hollered at y'all about an hour ago. We better get our head out of the sand. Amen. This next verse blows my mind. It's where we live. The only time that ostrich real fight, she won't fight for her young ones, but she'll fight a spirit-filled Christian. Verse 18. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. She won't rise up and fight for her youngins, but if a horse comes by with a rider, she'll rise up, lift up herself. Can I break that down? You let a spirit-filled church rise up in this whole town, I'll hate its guts. They don't care. They'll kill their babies and then come over here and try to kill you for being a horse and a rider. Let a spirit-filled Christian come by. And brother, you want to get under attack? Them ostriches will pull their head out of the sand. We don't care that we're killing all of our babies, but we're going to hate you because you're full of Jesus. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. You and I live in a bloodthirsty, murder, and demon-possessed generation that would kill us tomorrow if they got permission. You better believe that. And I know, listen, I don't care if it's University of Georgia, University of Tennessee, our secular university campuses across this nation is more witches, more perverts, more devils, more reprobates. The centers of higher learning. Satan has took over. You want to be a hero? Abort your baby or be a homosexual. They'll lift you right on up. You want the ostrich generation to come after you? Let the horse and the rider get over in their neighborhood. It says she scorns them. And she'll lift herself up. Oh my folks. We're in a great satanic warfare. Got good news for you. God give that eagle something that Leviathan can't kill it.
Amen.
And God give that horse something to where that behemoth can't stop it.
Amen.
That's us tonight. I bring you back around full circle and remind you that 41 is not the last chapter. Satan don't get his way. 42 is the last chapter. Amen. Glory. You'll get a double portion for your faithfulness. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to stand. An hour long and 10 minutes on satanic warfare. I'd like to invite the church and the Christians that would like to come around here and pray with me. I want us to pray. Remember the battle. Brother, there's a battle coming. But you better believe there's a battle upon us. There is a battle that we are in. I want all those of you that would like to, and we can do music or we cannot do music, it don't matter. I want you to come down and pray with us. I want us to pray for this meeting. I want us to pray for this church. I want us to pray for this pastor and his family. I want us to pray for the preachers. I want us to pray for this city. I want us to pray for the men of God in our area. I want you to pray for your own young ones. I want you to pray for the power of God to rest upon us.